Hi guys, and welcome back to the Tripod with me, Sam Hughes.
And me, Liam
We're really sorry for the delay that has that this episode has taken to come. Yes,
Openshaw.
I've
He's
got up
out
to
of
speed.
practice. Yeah.
I'm out of practice. I'm no longer the smooth introducer. Hi guys, and welcome back to the Tripod with me, Sam.
And me, Liam.
We're both really sorry for how long this episode has taken to be released. Yeah, we've both had a few things on. Liam's had surgery, but we're both fit and healthy and ready to go with it. So yeah, let's introduce the episode.
Yeah, so in today's episode, we are super lucky to have had Race Ranger come on and talk to us. We did actually do the Race Ranger interview a couple of weeks ago now, didn't we, Sam, before we both went away on illness and stuff. But we're so excited to get it out to you guys now. It's an amazing interview, and we hope you really enjoy it. Thanks so much
Yeah.
to Race Ranger for coming on, by the way. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it was brilliant to have them on. I think it's worth just noting as well that this episode was filmed just after their first trial run. You'll find out all about it in a bit later on in the podcast. But since then, they've had another successful trial run at an Ironman. I think it was Ironman New Zealand, and yeah, it's coming to Europe very soon potentially.
Yeah, so it's super exciting tech. We really hope that you enjoy it, and we'll see you very soon for some really exciting upcoming ones, won't we?
Definitely. Enjoy, guys.
Okay, so today we are super lucky to be joined by one of the founders of the brand new tri-tech company, Race Ranger, James Alveri. Thank you so much for coming to join us on the Tripod.
So yeah, firstly, we'd love to hear a bit more about your background in triathlon and sort of how you came to develop and the ideas behind such a product.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I guess I've been a triathlete pretty much my entire life. I remember my dad doing the races when I was a toddler, and I've got photos of me holding the bucket with him, getting the sand off his feet up in the transition area 1 year back in the 80s. So yeah, long, long way back. From an early age, all I wanted to do was be a top athlete and go to the Olympics and win a gold medal. Do exactly what Alistair Brownlee did, basically, but it just didn't work out that way in the end. But yeah, I think we had probably had the same dreams. And yeah, I sort of got to level of racing ITU for New Zealand for a number of years, probably about 8 years. And I was sort of almost there towards the end. I was getting to the point where I could swim at the front and ride at the front, ride off the front sometimes. But yeah, could only ever run sort of about 31:30, so wasn't quite able to keep up with the guys at the front going to 29s and 28.5. So
It's ridiculous. Unbelievable.
yeah. So yeah, I sort of just finished up in 2011, didn't make the London Games. I sort of did the test event and was in the breakaway with Alistair off the front there. It was four off the front. Anyone remembers that race?
I remember.
But yeah.
I was saying to
Yeah.
Liam, I remember watching that race in 2011. It's like one of my first memories of triathlon, seeing
Yeah.
Ali off the front. And then I remember there being a New Zealander as well. So
Yeah,
anyway.
so that was me. And
That's
if you
great.
watch that back, if anyone wanted to watch that back, I actually waved to the Queen as we went past Buckingham Palace. So
Brilliant.
because
That's
as
sweet.
like a mid-packer, you never really get on TV. So I knew I was on TV, I was at the front of the race, so I'm gonna wave to the Queen. But
That's
yeah.
brilliant. Nice.
Yeah, so I finished up 2012 and I started working at Specialized, came home to New Zealand, got a job at the bike company Specialized, and I'm actually still there now, so it's 10 and a bit years later. Through the whole time, was talking sort of closely with my best mate Dylan McNeice, who's also been a pro athlete. We used to race and sort of live together a lot. And we were just sort of bouncing ideas off each other about drafting, basically, and how annoying it was. And yeah, we sort of just talked about it initially. And then about in 2014, we sort of started to do some investigations, played around with some different technologies, and then didn't really come to anything for a while. It was just sort of a hobby. We'd talk about it over beers every now and then. And then got kind of serious about 2017, and that's sort of when we started going really hard on it. And now what are we, 6 years later? Yeah, just over 6 years later. So it's been a long journey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Although the majority of our viewers are actually triathletes, not all of them are. So could you quickly describe what Race Ranger actually is, as well as how and when it is actually used?
Sure. So in the majority of triathlons that the general public will do, you're not allowed to draft or slipstream behind the rider ahead, and you've got to keep certain distance between yourself and the rider in front of you. If you want to make a pass, you've got a set amount of time to do it, and the rules for those distances and times vary depending on the event you're doing. But that's the general theory. You've got to sort of use your own steam, and it's an individual race. And the way that that's policed and sort of judged, the athletes are guessing what that distance is, and the referees are on motorbikes also guessing what the distance is in a moving dynamic situation. And it's the biggest sort of point of frustration in our sport when you survey people and give them a range of options. It's not the first thing that always comes to mind, but if you give them a list of options, it is always the first one they'll pick out as something that just pisses everyone off that they'd like to improve. So, yeah, basically you have no one agrees with the penalty. They're so subjective that you're not allowed to challenge a penalty for drafting at all. It's just the referee's call is the call. And so, yeah, we basically set out to do something about it and made Race Ranger, which is basically a system that has two devices on each athlete's bike, one at the front and one at the back. The one at the back has some bike lights on it, and as a rider following someone, you're looking ahead at the back of their bike, and you can see their bike light change color depending how close you get, and that's sort of the basis of the system.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like it's something that could be quite sort of, well, almost revolutionary for like non-draft racing. You look at the 70.3 world champs this year with Sam, last year it is now, isn't it, with Sam Long and sort of what happened there. So what is sort of stopping it from becoming mainstream, and if there is anything stopping it, and sort of what impacts and changes will this have on the rules in non-drafting triathlon?
Sure. So what's stopping it getting to the mainstream? Why is it taking 6 years? It was a bloody hard problem to solve, basically. When you get into it, the drafting problem is quite a complex dynamic situation, and it's quite easy to think in your head in terms of two riders, but it's very rare you just have two riders. It's quite a simple situation. So there's multiple riders, there's some that are passing through past everyone at the same time. Perhaps you've got one sort of loose pack on one side of the road and another loose pack, and you don't want the devices to interact there at all. It's got a basically work in all areas and all conditions. So, you know, whether it's a 90-kilometer loop on your half Ironman type race, or multiple loop sort of shorter loop race, and yeah, it really was like a hard technical challenge. So, we've been talking with events for a long time, thinking it was nearly ready, but it's just taken this long to actually get it going. So, in terms of the challenge, it's why isn't it out there? It's just basically because it wasn't ready. So now it's sort of getting ready. And on your second sort of question around the rules, so how's it going to impact, I guess, the sport? And I guess there's going to be, we've tried to design the system so that it fits into the current rule set as closely as possible. Obviously, based off World Triathlon rules, which are generally the competition rule set that most federations adopt, with some minor local tweaks basically for every federation. But it's actually another point I'd already like to see some further, I guess, what would you call it, a global rule set would be a really, really cool thing to have.
Definitely.
As a result of what Race Ranger is doing, because it's really confusing for athletes to have different rules depending on where they're racing. And we've got three big races here in New Zealand, and they race a 10-meter, a 12-meter, and a 20-meter draft zone. And those are the three big races. So it's quite ridiculous. But the three little rule changes that I think we need to make as an amendment to the rules where Race Ranger's being used are basically around changing the definition of the draft zone, the shape of it. At the moment, it's a big rectangle. Ours is sort of a, at the front wheel, it stays the same. It's just a line across the front wheel, so measuring backwards from there. But then it's kind of a cone shape, so like a triangular arc, a triangle with an arc at the end. And that's sort of, once you cross that arc, you're in the zone, and then it waits till you're out of the zone at the front. So a bit of a different shape there. Some rules around tampering with the system. So obviously it's electronics, and you could probably mess with it if you really wanted to, put it in a microwave or something like that. We'll do everything we can to make sure that you can't, but if someone's seen to be putting 15 layers of tinfoil over it or something, trying to interfere with it, then that would be a disqualifiable offence, that kind of thing. So obviously we'll be able to check them as you enter transition to make sure they're functional. If they're not, we can change them out. Yeah. While you're swimming, there can be random checks to make sure no one swapped them with someone else or something like that. So we'll do everything we can to make sure, but you know, people will get around these things. So that's a rule. And then just making it clear to the athletes that they have to leave some space at the back of their bike. So generally where you put your race number, the flappy floppy race numbers at the back of your bike, about the same amount of space as what we need to mount to. And it can be anywhere. It can be on the seat tube or on the seat post. So as long as it's just above the top line of the rear wheel.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are the basic ones. And then the rest is sort of everything works as it currently does.
Nice. Okay. So having used Race Ranger in Teranga, we understand it's being used in a second live trial in Challenge Wanaka on the 17th of February. Have you made any modifications or changes since the first live test event in prep for this second race?
Yeah, so it's been a week and a half since our trial in Tauranga now, and I basically gave my engineer a week off because I worked him to death. Basically, we did a massive shift from pretty much he came back on the 2nd of January from a short Christmas break and put some huge hours in, and then two all-nighters the actual week of the race. So he needed a break, so I gave him a week off, and he just came back on Monday this week. So we've had sort of 3 days now. We had a couple of issues that we identified during the race. So the general feedback was, this is awesome. Two-thirds of the field had no issues. It worked perfectly the whole time. The other sort of third of the field and the pros that were using it, they mentioned a couple of issues that, oh, this little part here didn't quite work for a small part of the course, but then it kind of corrected itself and the rest of the time was great. So we just wanted to dig in on those, and we think we've got sort of plausible explanations for what may have been going on with both of them. So we'll probably implement one improvement for Challenge Wanaka just to get the sort of the bigger of the two issues sorted. Mm-hmm. And then ongoing development, I guess, for the third race, which we're hoping will be Ironman New Zealand in Tokyo at the start of March. I haven't quite had that confirmed yet for Ironman, but yeah, hopefully that's going through the next few days.
Oh, sweet. Brilliant. And so sort of talking about the product itself, for sort of more of our techie viewers, can you describe the design process and sort of what went into making it as it is?
Yeah. So I'm not an engineer at all myself. I've got a commerce and science degree in sports science, actually. So haven't ever made anything like this before. So the whole process has been one learning experience after another. And it's just, I guess, coming to the part where I can kind of do the kind of work I've been doing. It's specialized as, you know, the branding and those kind of things. So I guess there's a lot of technology going on there, and there are a lot of dead ends we went down to try and make things work that didn't end up working. And there's multiple antennas and technology in there. It's not just a simple bike light, unfortunately. So we learned a hell of a lot. I guess the hardest thing for me has been not being technical, but having to understand a whole lot of experts with massive brains in the room talking about concepts that I totally am familiar with, and just trying to find out and follow and help them, I guess, direct them, because I'm the general manager, I guess, the whole thing, and just directing traffic and project managing things. So it's been fun. And I guess many, many challenges, but part of what we're doing is timing the signal, a lot of signals very precisely based on GPS time. So with GPS, you get a signal of your position, but you also get a time pulse, which I think is every second. And it's a very, very synchronized and accurate time that everything can be based off. Okay. And so we're syncing all the devices very regularly so that they can send their messages at the precise split second and not clash with other ones, so that we guarantee that things are getting through. And that, a lot of that stuff was a huge learning curve for all of us. So.
Yeah, blimey. Sounds crazy. So it's been really exciting to hear about how the brand has grown and developed kind of so far. Many of us have competed in non-drafting racing, and myself included, welcome this type of tech to present a more fair playing field. How long do you think it will be until we actually see Race Ranger rolled out internationally into competition?
So following these next two races, I'm basically confident that it's ready to go for professional use. And the reason I'd say professional use only is because I've only got enough bits for 120 units, 120 sets. So it just makes sense to roll out at professionals because I can basically serve any professional field with that number. And yeah, we're sort of, the schedule we've got is to start from May in Europe. So most of the big races seem to be in Europe this year. There's a couple that are, you know, still, I guess, the two of the PTO Opens and Kona are probably the only really big races that are in Europe this year. So everything's there. And can't make any announcements yet, but I've got a few events that are already, you know, signed up to pay us to come and do the event, you know, for the pros. So that's really exciting. And hopefully we'll fill out the calendar. In terms of age group use, that's the question we always get as well. So for us, we really, really need to get to age group use in some way for it to make sense overall. We can make a little bit of money from going to these pro events, and that's you know, cover its own way, but it's not a you know, long-term business proposition that anyone would invest in. So for a long time, we've been dealing with all the big event companies. So Ironman Challenge, closely with World Triathlon, because they're, I guess, they set the rules. So we wanted to partner with them early to, I guess, get it written into the rules that everyone's using at these events. So, but yeah, it depends, I guess, how quickly they want to take it up and how we can figure out how to do it. There's a few ideas around how to roll it out to age groupers, whether it's splitting the field in some way. If you think of a big field of, say, 3,000 athletes, there might be 800 athletes that are really competitive and, you know, want to qualify for the World Championships or get a result to their name, and they might pay more to have the system on, and the rest, you know, they might still have it on, but they don't have the system showing them anything, so that if the competitive athletes are following one of them, they still will see the lights, which we're trying to avoid, but I think it's pretty hard to keep them completely separate most courses. And that's one way of doing it. And then, yeah, I mean, there's a few models we've got. We're working with the events on how it could eventually get to the age group use. So,
and sort of on that point, are pros, are pros sort of behind this idea as a whole? Are they keen on it? Because I feel like from my sort of experiences of watching these sort of Ironman events, you do see some absolutely outrageous drafting, especially in the big packs. And from their perspective, they might see it as a, well, this is going to make it harder for me, so why would I sign up to it? What's the sort of feedback you've got from that point of view?
Yeah, I guess I haven't had anyone say that kind of thing to me, but I guess no one really would. But I mean, the feedback's generally been really positive. They feel they need it. There's you know, after the race in Tauranga, the feedback from all the athletes was, it's great. It just takes the guesswork out of it. You know you're safe, and you know you're not going to get a penalty because the referee can see the same lights as you. So there's no doubt. You're safe, and if you drift into the, you know, into the draft zone, into the blue light, then you know you have to complete your pass. I mean, I think generally they want to, I guess, see that it works first. That's sort of a big thing. It's been a lot of disbelief, I guess. It's sort of, hey, this sounds amazing. Since we announced what we're doing at the end of 2021, sounds great, but if it works, then we need to see it work first. So yeah, hopefully get into that stage.
Sort of on it, because, you know, these guys are spending lots of sort of money, if they don't have sponsors, on getting the kit to be as light as possible, as aero as possible. Does the product have an effect on that? And if so, is it significant?
We haven't done specific tests on what effect it has, but I'd say, yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to add weight to the bike. It's probably the weight of a heavy-ish bike light. It's a bit lighter than the Garmin Barrier product, okay, both the front, but that's a front and a rear, so we've got two on the bikes. Aerodynamically, the rear one, we don't think it's going to make a hell of a lot of difference because it sort of tucks in behind the bike anyway. The front one is a bit out in the wind and that's the one probably get the most comments on of, oh, could you, you know, when I first showed Patrick Langer last year, he sort of said, oh, could you make it a bit closer to the fork and skinnier? And said,
yeah,
absolutely. But, you know, just need another $1 million and another 2 years development sort of thing. So we'll get there, but we'll get there. Just baby steps. And it's the same for everyone. So they'll kind of get that. And
Okay. Kind of similar point to that, but is there anything else we can expect from the brand as a whole? Are you planning to produce any other similar product, like bike lights, like the Varia product, or anything like that?
I think eventually we'll be able to sell these to consumers that won't just be a rental model at events like a timing company. Everyone wants to be able to train with their friends and experience what they're going to experience on race day. So that's probably when we get to that age group level where, you know, age groupers would probably want to buy a set for them and for them, their friend to practice with. In terms of features we're going to add after this initial rollout, we've got live tracking as well, sort of in the pipeline. So what the devices are sending out already in terms of their own communication between each other can be pulled off them and sort of sent to the internet, basically to give spectators a moving dot kind of live tracking system. So really keen to get that going. We've got an app already that we haven't really rolled out, but it works for referees to stay in communication. So even before we got to the point where the hardware was ready, we spent a lot of time with referees and we saw that the way they operate on the day is really inefficient. So you've got radios and paper, a lot of radios and paperwork basically, and wasted time. If you've ever pulled into a penalty tent, often there's a table covered in race numbers that a motorbike driver has driven ahead and handed over to the penalty tent. And each of those sits there with a stopwatch on it, ready for that person to come in. And then when you arrive, the referee will hopefully link your number to your number and stopwatch and start stopwatch. So basically we've got an app that where the referees can have a tablet mounted on the driver in front of them on their back, they can apply a penalty through the app, go straight to the internet, go straight to the penalty tent user, and they can then start the timer when they come in. If any other referee looks up that number, they can see that rider already has a penalty or a warning. So the eventual idea is that app will be, our first idea is that hopefully all the federations will use that for basically any triathlon, it can be used at sprints and we have different configurations for draft league or for all sorts of different distances. But then the eventual plan is that the race ranger data of drafting information will also feed into that. So referees will be able to see who's are the worst offending drafting athletes sort of within their vicinity, kilometer or two ahead or behind, and then just go and focus on those athletes, because that's a big thing the referees say is they try to pick the worst offenders first. And in those really busy races, it can feel like everyone's drafting, but really if you try to avoid drafting, you should be fine. There's a lot of time to either drop back or to make your pass. And if you're trying to avoid it, you should therefore shouldn't show up on that worst offenders list. So there's that. And we're going to work on motorbikes as well, motorbike drafting for pro cycling and triathlon. So lots of things in the pipeline.
Okay. Oh, brilliant! Is there sort of anything else you want to sort of add about the products or anything you want to sort of tell our listeners about?
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's good to finally get it out there and show that it works. I guess there's a lot of doubt that it was actually real. It's an April Fool's type joke, but we've been definitely working hard on it and keen to see. I guess the main driver behind that is that, you know, the sport will be more fun for everyone. There won't be those arguments in the car park that I remember since I was a kid. Yeah. And less people will drop out, hopefully, more people will come in. Officiating might actually be fun for referees. They won't get yelled at all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going with it.
Well, thank you so much, James, for joining us on the tripod today. We've had a really good time and we really hope that our viewers have had a good listen too. And hopefully we will be able to speak with you again at some point.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
We'll look out for Race Ranger over the course of this season.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait to see it rolled out to more events. Hopefully.
And hopefully we might in the future be able to use it
at some point, give it a go when we are getting the 7.3 distance.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sounds very exciting and it's a great, great idea. So thank you very much.
No worries. Cheers, boys.